Okay, so we're about to start. We're starting the introduction now to the topic of working on oneself. Avodah Pratit, he calls it. And he says that we're now getting in a little deeper to learn what does it mean, the sense of self. What is the ani? Who am I? And we're not talking about a bunch of incidences that happened to me and that formed me, or external influences that made me who I am. Rather, what we're looking to discover is who is the unique self that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a unique role to, a unique purpose to in this world, and how do I discover this inner world, and how do I discover what I am? And I think we spoke already about last time that most people, when they look to discover who they are, then they only relate to themselves on a very surface level. And that surface level often is just what the society tells them is normal for them. Like, I think one example we gave once before was that if you ask a person, who are you? And part of his description is that he's a supporter of a particular sports team. So that's obviously something very external to him. That's not something innate to who he is or something unique about him. It may be unique that he chose that team whilst most of his friends chose another team. You know? But it's not something which is uniquely innate to him. What we're looking for here is something which is above culture. It's not something which is ordained by the culture that you grew up in. Rather, something which is unique to you, because that's the way that Kodesh Baruch Hu uniquely made you. And we all get so stuck in the Olam HaMaaseh, and this is exactly what we finished with the last time. The mashal that we gave last time was someone's preparing for Sukkos, and all their mind is involved is in what decorations they're going to have, and what food they're going to make, and how much they paid for their etrog versus how much their friend paid, and like that's what all their mind is involved in. But if you ask, what's the tochen? Like, what are you taking out of the yontif? What's your relationship with Hashem? Like, how is this sukkah different for you than last sukkah? Not on an external level, because you have some new decoration in the sukkah, but on an internal level, they wouldn't even know what you're talking about. Right? Even though they're talking about sukkahs the whole time. Right? It's not that they're ignoring the yontif. They're talking about sukkahs the whole time. But all the talk that they have surrounds the external element of the sukkahs. And what we are looking now to do is to focus inwards. If we're looking for the unique place that we meet Hashem, what makes us unique in our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to go to our midas and see what midas we naturally have, what midas we naturally don't have. When everyone looks at a picture, they notice different things in the picture. What causes you to notice what you notice in the picture? We're not talking about the fact that there's a picture there. That's external. But what did your eye go to initially? What did you point out? What did you focus on? What did you notice? We're trying to look at what makes you unique and what's your unique chelik in this world. Actions are going to be useful for us, because when we see a person who's inclined towards certain actions, that can sometimes be an entry point. But we could say, if you do that, why did you do that? Where did that come from? Try to get an understanding of who a person is through the actions. But our end goal is not the actions. Our end goal is to come to an understanding of the deeper sense of who the person is, so that a person can reach shleimus. He quotes here a couple of psukim. Im chachamta chachma alacha, velatzeis levadacha tisa. Im chatata ma pa'albo, v'rabu peshaecha. Im tzedakta ma titein lo, o ma miyadacha yikach. Hashem does, all these psukim show the same principle, that Hashem doesn't need our actions to fix something in this world. It's not like Hashem is lacking something and like we're coming and saving the day. Here we're going to fix up something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. All these psukim show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does want our actions, but the only purpose of the actions is that the actions then open up a door for us to understand our inner world. Actions for us are supposed to be, once I've developed my inner world, and then I express it in an action. So for example, if I want to express, if I wish to express my love for Hashem, and then I say Shema Yisrael, or then I go and give tzedakah to El Duchesed for another Jew, and that is an action which is expressing my love, then that's the purpose of an action. And it wasn't that the action was the end goal, but rather there was an inner world that I'm trying to develop and trying to express, and then through the action I'm able to bring it out. So my goal is to develop love for others, love for Hashem, and the action gives me the grounding that I'm able to express it in. But the goal is not that this person's poor, who's going to help him? I'll give him tzedakah. But not developing any part of my inner world. If it comes from my inner world of, okay, if I must, and then you feel a bit guilty, so you give him tzedakah, but then it didn't develop any middah within you, then that was an action, and you get rewarded for it, but it wasn't achieving the purpose of what actions are for, which is to develop one's inner world. All of our actions, the goal of them, is always to enable perfection of man. And this point should be very, very clear. It's very important to be involved in actions all the time. Right? Our goal is as many mitzvahs as you can do, you should be involved in mitzvahs. And as much Torah you can learn, you should be involved in Torah. But that's only the external element, which is supposed to be expressing an inner world. Right? We've given this mashal many times before, but if you have a husband who works hard to support his family, but his family don't feel that he loves them, then even though from his perspective he's fulfilling his obligations, it's not going to express itself in a healthy family dynamic. Because they'll just say he's doing what he needs to do, but doesn't mean that he loves us. As opposed to if you have a father who deeply loves his family, and the reason why he goes out to work is to support them because he loves them and he cares for them, and they sense it, they recognize it deeply, then when he goes out to work, they will sense how devoted he is, how much he loves us, and they will have a healthy family dynamic. Now, the action could be the same action, but where does it emanate from? If it emanates from a place of burden or even responsibility, but not from a sense of connection, right? Then he will do his role and he will do what he has to do, but it won't develop a relationship. But if it emanates from a place of love, then the family will sense how devoted he is to them, how much he cares for them. And so with us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the goal is actions. He gave us the mitzvot. But it's not that the goal is actions just for the sake of the actions and there's no heart. Rather, the goal of the actions is to develop that shleimus, that relationship with him. And as we're doing an action with the mindset, with the thought of what this is, how this is developing us and our closest to Hashem, then the action will accomplish its goal. In a slightly different mashal, I'm sure everyone has experienced this on some level. If you have either a parent or a teacher who gives rebuke, it's very, very clear to the child when it emanates from frustration and when it emanates from care and concern and wanting to grow and direct on the right path. When a parent or a teacher is upset and frustrated and angry and then takes that on the child, even though they're saying words which could be educational and directing them on how to do good things, but the words are less important. And the tone and the emotion that's given over has much more of an effect. Now, look at this. Let me just do a little experiment. I'm going to do two different things now, and tell me if you can see the difference in them. I'm so depressed! I can't tell you how depressed I am! That was number one, okay? Now, number two. I'm really happy. I've never been happier. My life is perfect. Everything is good. Hashem has blessed me. It's amazing. Okay, now, you can see there that the words are irrelevant in respect to the tone and the emotion that's given over. It's almost irrelevant, right? It could be that I would have spoken Chinese and you wouldn't have understand a word that I just said, but you would very clearly get the message. In the first message, it was clear, it's enthusiastic, it's coming from a place of joy. It doesn't matter what the words are so much. In the second example, it was very clear from the position and from the tone that they were not interested, don't care, the burden, even though my words were very positive words. So when you're coming to do mitzvot of Hashem, the mitzvah is almost insignificant. The action is almost insignificant. What the tone is, and what the mindset is, and what the emotion behind is everything. So if a person is coming and doing a mitzvah, and with that mitzvah is a sense of joy and connection and love and affinity to Hashem, it's going to achieve the goal. And forgive me on this, but even if it wasn't a mitzvah lishma, you know, even if you had some ulterior motives, but you love Hashem and you want it to come to lishma at one point, that's your like ultimate goal and you really connect, and there's a lot of other ulterior motives there as well, but really your end goal is to connect to Hashem at the end of the day, right? So then Hashem and us are bonding and we're connecting. That's the real goal. There will be a shleimus of a person that will come eventually. But if a person is doing the mitzvot, he did the mitzvot, what do you want from me? I did it. You told me to do it. I did it. Get off my back. If that's that mindset, then even if the mitzvah was done, right, but as you saw in the words that were positive, but the whole vibe was depressed, then it won't have the connection. It's clear, right? It's so clear. So our goal is, of course, to do the will of Hashem. But the deeper will of Hashem is not just the actions, but rather it's the whole tone, mindset, desire that we are coming to relate to Hashem. And that's the sense of self, much more than the action. The sense of who I am in the story, what am I bringing into it? When I walk into a conversation with someone, there's two parts to the conversation. There's what I want to say and what mindset, mood, tone I'm in when I come to the conversation. And therefore, when a parent or a teacher comes and they come to give rebuke to a child and they're in a mindset of frustration and anger, even if they would say, "I love you, darling, you're the sweetest boy, please don't do that again," which is a very nice way of saying it, but their whole tone is angry and frustrated, then the message gets across very clearly from the tone that was said. And if they say harsh words, but it's with a smile, and it's with a little chop on the arm, and it's with a knowledge, because you can sense that he really cares for me and he really wants what's best for me, then even if the words are harsh, it will have an effect. In fact, you'll even come away feeling built from it to some degree. Because you'll say, "Okay, that wasn't pleasant, but it was worth it just to like have another connection with that person because they said it so nicely. Like, they really built me in the way they said it. Not what they said. What they said was harsh." You know, sometimes it's even more pleasant to get harsh rebuke from someone who loves you than it is to get a compliment from someone who doesn't. And you can sense that coming clearly through the tone and their emotion. It's very clear. When we're coming to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's much more important than the action that you did was the tone that you came with, the mindset that you came with, the ani. So who am I in this relationship? Where am I in this connection? If I am in a place of can't be bothered for this, this is a burden, why do I have to do this? Then even if technically I'm doing all the best things and the perfect things, but I'm not there. Or I'm there in a negative way. The sense of self. Now someone who's not aware of their sense of self won't even be aware of what we're talking about. They say, "What do you mean I did the mitzvah? What do you mean I learned? What do you want from me? I davened. What do you want? What's the problem?" They won't get the issue here. They'll say like, "I did what I need to do. What's wrong?" Like, you say, "No, but you weren't there." "Wait a minute, I was there." "Yeah, no, but you weren't there." They go, "I was there." They don't understand what you're saying. Right? Because only when you learn about the concept that we've just discussed now for the last 10 minutes of the sense of self, the sense of the whole being, the whole mindset, the whole desire to connect, the whole love that comes behind the action. That's the real sense of self. That's much more important than the action. I'll even say a bit harsh. I said it before, I'll say even a bit harsher. And this don't catch me on this. But even if a person is doing an Aveira, but they're doing an Aveira with a sense of guilt and a sense of, "Hashem, I love you and this is so hard for me to overcome and I'm trying, Hashem, please help me." And all the way through them doing the Aveira, they're talking to Hashem and asking Him to help to overcome it and in a way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout it. I don't know, I'm not signing on this. As opposed to someone who does a mitzvah and his whole mindset is, "Why does Hashem tell me I have to do this? This is such a burden, this is such an annoying, this is such a nonsense." And I don't know. I don't know. And I wouldn't say it certainly because I haven't seen it written anywhere. But my sense is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would prefer the person who's struggling to overcome a strong desire that he has, but all the time turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help and with a sense of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the challenge that he has, more than the person who's technically doing the mitzvah, but his whole being is complaining and upset with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know that for sure. And it could be that it's not true. And therefore I'm not saying it as a certainty. It could be that no. If the mitzvah at the end of the day has to be positive, and then you add on that the positivity. It could be. But my sense is that it's much more important that you are in a place of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if right now you're in a very challenging chat and you're doing an Avera right now, but with a desire not to do the Avera and the will to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thoughts of Hira Harei Tshuva, that's where you are, that's going to find more desire and pleasure in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what we're trying to discover now is that self. That self, which is not the actions that you're doing, but rather the whole being that is doing the actions. Is it clear what we're saying? There's the doing self and there's the being self. The doing self is the actions that you do, and the being self is the mindset that you're in, or the way you view or perceive yourself in the doing of the action. And the being self is much more inherent. And we're looking to discover how to connect to that sense of self and how to live from that place as opposed to living from the external place, which is where most people without thought live from. As we look into our inner worlds, we discover there's Kedusha there. Yavod sadatuma v'yochiach. And let's prove that our inner world is a world of Kedusha. If Whoever has the book, we're on page Kuf Lamed Vav. What does it mean the inner world is a world of Kedusha? Hametameh atzmo chas v'shalom mashlit et al atzmo tavat aguf v'chomriut ha'olam. Milvad kol zeh, this is actually today's Daf Yomi, hu gorem letamtem libo lebal yargish klal v'matzavo. Al tikre v'nitmeitem bam ela v'nitamtem bam. Timtzum ha'lev hu I hargasha ba'atzmenu. Ha'hefech hi b'kedusha. Milvad ma shehi meromemet et adam me'al guf v'chomer, hu nehiye er al yada lahargish ba'atzmo matzavo ulakir mekomo. I'm going to try and make this in a little more extreme way, and then we'll come back to what he was saying over here. When a person lives in a world and he's not content in his world, he looks to escape his world. And therefore, a lot of the pleasures that the very secular world engages in is in escapism. They'll listen to heavy metal music so that they're not able to think clearly because it's just pounding and pounding and pounding in the mind. They'll watch movie after movie after movie so they can escape the world and not live in the real world. And in more extreme examples, they may turn to drink or drugs so that they're just not part of the world. So as a person moves further and further away from civilization, what they're looking to do is not exist. Not be present. All those examples of past times, right, and even movies, or sometimes even novels, the kind of cheap novels where there's no message, but it's just to lose yourself in a novel, then the whole goal in them really is to stop existing for a moment, because existing has challenges or responsibilities, and I'd rather escape that. And therefore there's a world of, they call it pleasure or entertainment, but I don't know if it's really pleasurable, it's just more escapism, where the goal is just to not be connected. And that's what Chazal say in today's Daf Yomi when they say that when a person wishes to escape the world and not feel the world, then they become tameh. They look for things that are tameh. As the Pasuk says, v'nitmeitem bam, you will become tameh through them. And Chazal say, read it, v'nitamtem bam, you become blocked. Your mind becomes blocked. You're looking to escape and not be involved in the world. Kedusha is the exact opposite. When a person attaches himself to things that are holy, he's much more focused, right? Let's say, if you imagine a person davening, and I'm not talking about a person davening who's just like saying the words without thought, but a person who's thinking, who am I? Who is Hashem? What is our relationship? He's extremely focused. He's focused on, if you want to go to, you know, Yom Nirayim. Yom Nirayim is the day of most focus on who am I? What is my mission? What is my role? Why is that? How is Hashem king in the world? And how am I part of that? What have I done wrong that I can cleanse myself from that too? It's the exact opposite. Instead of being in a mindset of escaping the world, it's in a mindset of most focused of who I am and my role in the world. And now we're making a spectrum where on the one hand you have Tumah, on the other hand you have Kedusha. What the Ali Shor is saying is that as you move over to Tumah, what you're actually aligning yourself with is escapism. And as you move over to Kedusha, what you're actually aligning yourself with is being realistic, being focused, and being present. And as you're more aware of Hashem in your life and your role in the world, you're more holy, you're more present, you're more aware, which is what we're doing in davening. And when you learn in a proper method where you're focused on what you're learning and understanding what you're learning, you're doing that in learning as well. You're present, you're understanding, you're thinking, you're not looking to escape. You're looking to develop more of your unique understanding of what the Torah is telling you. So the spectrum now that we have is, if you abandon yourself to Tumah, you're escaping the world. If you're looking for the things that involve sin, are things that distract you from your real inner self. And as you avoid those things, and you focus deeply on who you are and what your mission is, you'll find yourself longing for Kedusha, longing to attach yourself to something more holy. Looking for meaning and purpose and to connect to Hashem. This is amazing. You can see this also in the order of brachas. You know, the Gemara Megillah, and this is very, very, if someone wants to have help in Kavana in Shemona Esrei, it's very recommended to learn the Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin in Meseches Megillah, where Chazal explained why they made the order of the brachas of Shemona Esrei in the order they made them. And instead of it being a random list of blessings that come in an arbitrary order, you realize there's a pattern. That it's actually building something from stage after stage. So in the Gemara there it says, Ma ra'u lomar bina achar kedusha. Why does it have the bracha of bina which by the way is the fourth bracha, and also says when you reach age 40 at the time of Bina. So why does it have Bina after Kedusha? Shneemar, Vigdishu et Kadosh Yaakov, Veterokei Yisrael Yaritsu, Vesamich Le Veyedu, Kol Toe Ruach Bina. So that's the Gemara, right? There's a smicha of the Psukim, which shows you that after a person has Kedusha, and they appreciate Kedusha, then the people who are straying will have understanding. So after Kedusha comes Bina. So it says the Arei Shor. Harei mima she'omrim Kedusha, zochim le'Kedusha, uvamahi mitbatat, she'odim Bina. As you look for Bina, sorry, as you look for Kedusha, and as you're seeking to have holiness in your life, I'm sure everyone here has experienced this, that at some point, it could be before you came to yeshiva, it could be whilst doing yeshiva, you suddenly kind of cleanse yourself and your thoughts of all the things that were maybe more important in high school. Many people do this even before they come to yeshiva already. Right? They already like clarify for themselves, like, those things that are maybe quite acceptable in my society at large, I'm not interested in those. They're petty in my eyes. And I'm looking for something more meaningful, more holy, and more pure. And a person makes a decision that they want to follow the path of Kedusha. And you have that sense. It's not a click or a moment, but it's like it's a realization that you have when friends that you have or had are talking about things that you just don't feel that you connect to as much anymore, and you feel like not interested in discussing with them. You're looking for something more meaningful, more purpose-orientated, and more holy in your life. You start to align. Some people, it happens only in the middle of your shiur. It doesn't happen. But you know, the goal is that everyone will have this notion, where they'll recognize that they're looking for Kedusha. And as you experience that, how does it express itself? The timtum halev goes away. All the petty thoughts that a person had, and all the lowly oriented thoughts that a person had, start slowly but surely to remove themselves, and he becomes more insightful, more orientated towards more holy things. So you choose Kedusha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you as a gift, you have more insights, more direction in your path that you need to take. Ketzad adam chai b'kivun el atzmo. How do we do it? So we understand what we're trying to do now. We're trying to move away from distraction and move towards inner understanding, which is exactly the same as moving away from Tumah and moving towards Kedusha, according to Alei Shor. How do we do that? So the Baal Shem Tov, that's why I love it, just by the way, I love about the Alei Shor. He's totally above, he's like Karen B'Yavne. He's totally above who are you with and who are you against and who are you quoting and how could you quote them. And he, in his own personal life, he was someone who would learn from Gedolim who wouldn't talk to each other. But he would learn from this God, that he was above it. He himself was to some degree a Baal Tshuva. He went to university straight from school. He was from a religious family, but he never learnt. And he went to university straight from school. And after university, then he went to yeshiva for the first time. So he had this kind of openness of not having been like limited to a particular sect of Yiddishkeit. But he was like, you know, connected to everyone. That was a part of the beauty of who he was. And what, just in brackets, something that he would do, which I think is very beautiful, is that when he would learn by one Godel, and then he would learn by another one, and he would really notice that they're saying the same thing. Each one has their own language and the way they say it and their own focus. Then he would bring copies of the book, of the writings of one to the other one. And he would say, "Kvod HaRav, I'd like you to read this." And then after the Rav read it, and he would say, "Oh, who wrote that?" And he would say, "Your enemy." This other Rav, "Oh, I never realized." And his goal was achdus. His goal was really to bring all the different sects of Judaism together. They all respect each other. It was very beautiful what he did. Anyway, so he himself was not Hasidish. He himself in his own path was a Litai. But nevertheless, he has no qualms about quoting. So he's actually going to quote now something from this week's Parsha. So it'll be a Devar Torah for the Shabbos table, to say at the Shabbaton. So, Mekubal b'shem Baal Shem Tov, ki kol ma she'anu ro'im misaviv lanu, hu kumo ri'i, asher bo hashgoch elyono mar'eh lanu et atzmeinu, kazehu kivun ha'mabat ha'pnimi. The Baal Shem Tov says, once you adopt this mindset, you will be amazed about how true it is on a daily basis. I'll say it in my own words. He says, the Baal Shem Tov says, everything that you ever see, significant things, right? I'm talking about you like walk past and just see some grass, right? But anything that you see which is significant, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed it there as a mirror for you to learn your inner world. Because anyone you look at and you judge, or any interaction that you notice, you have a filter. which you're absorbing all that interaction through. And if instead of looking through that filtered eye and pointing at them, rather you take note of what filter you have, you start to learn a lot about yourself. Just to make it very simple, right? I'm wearing glasses. If these glasses would be tainted slightly orange, and I would go around and I would say, why is the wall orange? Why are the books orange? Why is your face orange? Right? And I would go around, then I would say, 1 second, if everything here is orange, it's probably me. And then I would take off my glasses and look at them and say, I'm an orange glass wearer. I would note, I would recognize that. When you go around the world and you notice again and again and again, everyone's like this, so every interaction I see that, I notice that, then actually, it's probably not them, it's probably you. And if you have this principle, you absolutely lose being judgmental. It totally takes away being judgmental. Because whenever you see something in someone else, which you're judging them, all you notice in it is, well, what does that say about me that I'm focusing on that and I'm noticing that and I see that again and again? What does that mean? Maybe I have an issue over there. Why am I pointing that out? Why am I noticing that? Why does that irritate me more than it irritates other people over there? Why? What's going on? There's something in me going on here. What am I trying to hide? What am I trying to defend? You know? You start to learn about yourself deeply. And you stop accusing other people. And you start paying attention to your inner world. And that's the Baal Shem Tov's key to learning about yourself. To recognize that the outer world is not an outer world. It's just a reflection of your inner world. Because as you start paying attention to what you notice, you start to learn about who you are. And that's so interesting. And just by the way, whatever it is that you learn, other people know already. Because what you're blind to about yourself, everyone else knows. I mean, you know, insightful people. There are people who are not insightful. But people who are insightful about nature, it's much easier for them to notice it in others than in themselves. So anything that they're looking for, and they notice that everyone else knows it already, just you're the last one to know. It's so funny, you know. Like you're walking around with a big sign on your head, which is talking about all your middos and who you are, and everyone else can see that sign and you can't see it. But only when you see their reactions to when you talk about a particular topic, then you start to say, and they're laughing when I talk about that topic. Why are they laughing? Oh, because kind of rare, that's probably me. You know? That's why everyone's making a fuss about that. And you start to learn about your inner world. That's the Baal Shem Tov. That's so crucial to learn. In marriage, whenever you are upset with your wife, if you make it a klal barzel, an iron rule, that instead of getting upset towards her, you pause and you say, what does that say about me? Then you never have friction. You never fight. Because you always are able to catch yourself and say, I'm just making a fool of myself here and taking it out on her. That's not fair. Let's be fair here. If I'm upset with her, it's just a mirror of what it says about me. And you go into a constant state of self-improvement. And you use your wife. And believe me, she's happy you're doing that rather than shouting at her. Yeah? She doesn't mind that you're using her in this way. She's very happy rather than taking the brunt of your bad middos. She's very happy that you'll use her as a mirror for you to learn about your own character traits. And even if you did lash out at her, but you apologize and you say, you know what? It's nothing to do with you. I'm working on this particular thing here and just like, you're the wrong person at the wrong time. I'm sorry. Sorry that you had to go through that. And you take responsibility for it. It's a key for Shalom Bais. You're able to have harmony in your home because you're always looking at how to prove. Now, one thing I will say, just in brackets, is if there's someone who's narcissistic and they take advantage of you, then this rule wouldn't apply. Right? Because if it's someone who knows that you're, you know, a thoughtful person and they know that you're always looking to improve and they use that against you, kind of they're being not yashar, then this rule wouldn't apply. Because then that's someone who's not working within the natural order of how people connect. They're taking advantage of it. So we're not talking about that. But normal interactions that you have with people, then look at it as a mirror. Look at it, what does that say about me? What can I learn from that? And the one last piece, because I wanted to do the Parshas Shavuot. Isn't it amazing? In this short piece that we learned today, within a half an hour, we did today's Daf Yomi and Parshas Shavuot. Isn't that fantastic? Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mechaven Otanu. Well, he's not always, but we notice it when he is. So, Lama Nismecha Parshat Nazir La Parshat Sota. This is Rashi on this week's Parsha. Why, in the middle of Parshas Naso, does it have two parshas in the same aliyah, which have seemingly nothing to do with each other, but they're all one connected part. Nazir and Sota. Say Chazal, it's come to teach us that anyone who sees a Sota, Bekil Kula, that is after the Sota has been accused and taken to the Beis HaMikdash, and her hair covering has been pulled off, and she's walking from place to place, Yazir Atzmo Min HaYayin. He noted, he saw that? He should become a nazir, not drink wine. Biro'oto adam bekil kuloto, hinenu ro'e tekef et atzmi, omotze kol sibuche achet gam benafsho, gam benafshi. Uvmakom aboz vaharoges alachote, hineni mechapes et sot el nafshi, shelo yikashel kamoto. Kacha adam chai bekivun el atzmo. The Baal Shem Tov's understanding of this piece, there's different interpretations, but the Baal Shem Tov's understanding was the following. When you notice someone who's sinning, then when you notice that, it brings out in you some sort of a connection to it. You start to associate or notice where that's true in you. On some level. It's true for positive and negative. If you see someone who's doing something positive and good, and you see them like doing something which is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unless you're anti, you'll bring out within yourself, how can I do something good? How can I be like that as well? And when you see someone who's doing something bad, then even if you don't like it so much, right? But unless you're actively growing and working yourself and you actively notice, say to yourself, I don't want to be like that, then it will bring out within you on some level doing sin, doing avera. Because whatever you see, you naturally associate with. It's the teva of man. You're drawn after what you see. So the Baal Shem Tov says that if you notice and you see someone, then that makes you look into yourself and see, what sins do I have? It almost makes you say, what can I do? Meaning, in the negative. And therefore, immediately you have to catch yourself. As you see other people doing aveiros, you have to catch yourself. You say, I don't want to be like that. I know that by me looking at them and seeing them doing that, it dims my sensitivity to aveira. It numbs it to some level. Because I'm associating with them as well. Because when I'm looking at them, I'm noticing myself. When I see them doing sin, I see myself doing sin as well. They could do it too. You know that claim? What do you want from me? He was doing it, so I did it also. And then your grandmother says, if he would jump off a cliff, would you also jump off a cliff? But there's truth in it, because we're cultural beings where we follow the culture of other people around us. We copy. We see someone doing an avera, we tend to do the avera as well. You can't blame people so much. You can, but you can't blame someone when everyone's going to do an avera and they're just swept in with the crowd. It's a natural thing. So when you see something bad in someone else, it brings out that you see bad in yourself. And therefore the Torah says, catch yourself quickly and become a nazir. Don't allow that to develop within yourself. Because if you're sensitive, what you notice you see in them, you can notice you see in yourself as well. And if you're blind to it, you'll be swept away with it. You'll be swept away. But if you're sensitive to it, you'll catch yourself. You'll say, no, I see that in myself. I don't want to go there. So I'm gonna put a bridge and put a board around myself before I stop, before I fall there. So we're getting certain inclinations and understandings already into how to focus on our inner world. The mashal that we gave at the beginning of the difference between our tone and our words should be a very clear message. That who we are, our being, is much more significant than what we do externally. And we're now looking to develop a sensitivity to our inner world. And from the Baal Shem Tov, we got already one key of how to do that. What you notice in other people is a mirror for you to notice your inner world. Shakar.